You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
A few weeks ago, while I was praying, I felt that God was reminding me about a word that was given to me over 10 years ago. Now, I don't look old enough, do I, to have had a word given to you 10 years ago, but at the time, I wasn't going to church with any regularity, and I wasn't really living a life that somebody who says they follow Jesus should be living, actually. It was sort of a period of time where I was about to move away from God, but bizarrely, I found myself going to a small group that was working through the book The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And at that group, this word, it was in that context that this word was shared with me. But given the fact that I wasn't really living a Christian life at the time and was sort of pulling away from it, I didn't really give it much thought at the time. I didn't pray about it, didn't look it up, didn't really think about what it might have meant to my life at the time. Until a few weeks ago when I was praying and God reminded me of it. I'd sort of forgotten about it and he reminded me of it and he shared it with me again. And it was, what have you got in your hand? And so this time, 10 years on, I did actually mull it over and think about it and pray about it and have a look at it. And I got the sense that it wasn't just for me. It was something that I could share with you. And I was preaching a couple of weeks later, so it kind of fit quite nicely. So, of course, when I looked at what the Bible had to say about this word, what have you got in your hand, it's actually something that God says to Moses in the Old Testament. And we do have, I think, I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, which is quite unlike me, but John showed me that you can actually project the verses up there. So, but if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at Exodus 4 in a minute, but we're going to start in Exodus 3, and I'm just going to give you the gist of what's happened. So Moses has just seen the burning bush, and he thinks it's strange because although it's on fire, it's not burning up. So he goes to take a look, and he gets called by his name, and he gets told to take off his sandals because it's holy ground. And it's kind of here that God introduces himself, and Moses sort of goes, oh my goodness, this is God that's talking to me. And God tells Moses that he knows what's going on with the Israelites. He's seen the horrendous treatment of them. He knows that they're being oppressed by the Egyptians, and he's going to do something about it. And actually, Moses is going to be the main man through which this is going to happen. And I came up with this little, I thought this was clever. He's going to be key to setting the people free. I can have that one for free. So Moses has a bit of a wobble at this stage, I guess you could call it, and actually at other parts in this story too. But he has a bit of a wobble and he asks a few questions. And I thought a good side note here is, this happens a lot, doesn't it? When people are asked by God to do something or given a promise or shown something that they're going to be part of, they kind of go, what? Me? Really? How's this going to happen through me? Why me, God? And I think, you know, you think about Abraham before Moses when he's told, and he's ancient and Sarah can't have children, that they're going to have a baby. He laughs. He goes, oh, yeah, right. And then you think of Gideon later on who he wants something to be done about the Midianites. And then God says to him, actually, you're going to be key in making this happen. And he goes, oh, no, not me. I'm a weakling. I think that's quite comforting that these are people's reactions because it kind of makes me think that these people who lived thousands of years ago in some far off land are actually a bit like me, and maybe my reaction would be similar to what their reaction is. But anyway, God gives Moses quite a lengthy rundown of what he wants him to do and the results he'll get. And we're going to pick up in Exodus chapter 4, as I said, verses 1 to 5. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now, God gives Moses two more signs. You'll probably know he puts his hand in his cloak, brings it out, goes all yucky and leprous, and then he puts it back in and it's healed. And then God says, and if they still don't believe, take some water from the Nile, pour it out on the ground, and it will become blood. But we're just going to deal with the first sign today and what led up to it. So God saying to him, what's in your hand? Now, I don't know if any of you have done any extensive research on staffs or staves before. Anybody done has found themselves delving into that? No. Well, I have. Pardon? You have, actually. Oh, yeah, I thought so, Shaz. I thought you would have. Well, I have over the past few weeks. And I found that there's some debate about Moses' staff, whether it was something of a symbol of authority or standing in the community, or whether it was like a shepherd's crook. I think it's probable, and it seems like most people's opinion, that it was the second. He was herding sheep. Let's go for it being a shepherd's crook. I think that's probable. So it was something that Moses had a legitimate day-to-day purpose for. It was helping him do his job at the time of this meeting with God. And I imagine it was fairly ordinary, and probably a lot of other people would have had one, and something that you wouldn't really give a second thought to, perhaps. And yet, all of a sudden, God shows up, tells Moses, basically, your course is set for a whole nother trajectory. You're going to save your people. And in this context, Moses, taking all of this in and pretty much doubting whether he's the right man for the job, God says to him, well, what's that in your hand? Now, indulge me for a second, because this is me reading into it, okay? But just indulge me. I feel like it could have happened something like this, and I have a visual aid for this. This is my amazing mop. If you want to find out about my amazing mop, go and talk to Liesl. It's amazing, but I have a visual aid. So I imagine it happening something like this. So God says, what's in your hand? This old thing. Well, I don't know, God, if you're familiar with the tools of the trade of sheep herding, you know, your son's a shepherd of all and everything, but this is just something that I use for that. Obviously, that's indulging me. That didn't actually happen. It doesn't say anything about what Moses' reaction is. It just says he replied, a staff. But I guess what I'm trying to get across is that God uses the ordinary natural things that he's created to showcase his extraordinary supernatural power. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Now, of course, in that context, it's talking about the message of the cross, but I think you see the character of God here, and you do see it time and time again, that he's surprising in what he chooses to work with and who he chooses to work through. So Moses sees his staff. He sees what's in his hand, but oh, what plans God has for that stick. So over the course of Moses' life, he turns a stick into a snake, which we see here. Interestingly though, again, looking into the world of staves, it's actually Aaron's staff which turns into a serpent in front of Pharaoh, but we're not going to get into all of that there. His staff was pretty cool too, but Moses' staff turns into a snake here. It parts the Red Sea, probably the ultimate conclusion of an escape, the Israelites escaping from the Egyptians. Then later when they're walking in the wilderness, the staff produces water from a rock. And then as Moses holds up his hands with the staff in it, it helps the Israelites win a battle against the Amalekites. What a stick could give Harry Potter's wand. He'd run for its money, but of course these are real events and real people. But of course we know it wasn't his staff in and of itself. It was God's miraculous power working through it. It was the same ordinary shepherd's crook that Moses had back in the days when he was herding sheep. So I want us to think about that today. What have you got in your hand? What everyday, ordinary things have you got at your disposal that God might be drawing your attention to? Are there things that you've perhaps had for a long time? Things that you've been using, resources or gifts or talents or a skill set that have served you well up until now? But perhaps God's got a new plan for them or a new plan for you and a new direction. It might be something that might make you feel a bit uncomfortable, might upset the apple cart a little bit, but what have you got in your hand? And we've talked this morning about spiritual gifts, and that's another area that you could delve into, but I'm talking this morning about more things that we have that are perhaps quite day-to-day. And just as importantly, I feel that we need to draw attention to what God asked Moses to do with what was in his hand. And I kind of wish the kids were here for this, but has anybody seen the Disney movie Frozen? Yes. Can anybody sing me the line from the most famous song from Frozen? Go, let it go, can't hold it back anymore. Yes. Thank you. God told Moses to throw it to the ground, to let go of it. So while we might recognize what's in our hand, I wonder if what we're holding on to needs to be let go in some sense so that he can do something greater with it. And we've already touched on that this morning. Perhaps there's something that's very ordinary to you and to I that needs to be released in order to let God do his thing with it. Moses was holding on to something that was effective for what he was doing at the time. It was effective for being a shepherd. But actually, it would be ineffective for what he was being asked to do. It needed to be released to have the touch of God on it to be effective for Moses' next stage of life. And you know what? I don't even know if it's really about the thing, if that makes sense. I wonder if we're talking about the attitude behind it. Because actually, we've already sung this morning, that same power lives in us. So there's no extra power we're trying to get from God, is there? It's actually just the attitude behind letting go, I think we need to think about. It's obedience to let go. God said, throw it to the ground. Moses throws it to the ground. And I wonder, again, me reading into it, but I just like to put a human perspective on it. What would I do? What would I think? In that split second, was Moses thinking, what's going to happen here? Am I going to get my staff back? Is it going to catch on fire? I've just seen this burning bush. What's going to happen? Or was Moses just so overtaken by the fact that he was actually talking to God that he was just like, yep, I'm going to do whatever he says. And I thought, maybe obedience is easier when you've got God right there. I don't know, just something to think about. If God was standing right here, right now, telling me to do something, maybe I'd obey a whole heap quicker than, you know, reading his word and mulling it over and think, oh yeah, maybe one day. Letting go of things is hard. We get attached to stuff, don't we, to physical stuff. I think we also get attached to the way things are, to routines and how we've always done things and what we can expect and depend upon. Perhaps we've always had something, a resource or, like I said, a gift or a skill set, and we've had a plan for it and an expectation of how it was going to be used. And now God's saying he's got something else in store for it. He's saying, let it go. And I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, change your life course completely, abandon your day-to-day lives, unless God's told you to do that. I'm not saying that at all. But maybe there's something that you can identify or that we can all identify that we're just holding on to a little too tightly. And I'm going to address things that are blatantly wrong, so sin, a bit later, but that's what I'm not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about something that if God said to you right now, I'm going to get something else happening with this, I'm going to ask you to do something different with this, that you'd have a hard time actually doing that. Moses didn't actually seem to have a problem letting his staff go, but you'll see later on in the chapter, and you'll know the story, that he does have a problem letting go of the barriers moving from his life as a shepherd to being key in this plan of God's. Now, straight up, there is no agenda here. I'm working this through in my own life, but I don't know what this might mean for you, and I don't know what's in your hand or letting go might mean for you, whether it's a physical act or just something that needs to happen in your heart. But I just felt like it was something that God wanted me to share today. Now, apart from letting his staff go and obeying God when he said to throw it to the ground, at this point, Moses doesn't have to perform, if that makes sense. There isn't any performance required, not at this stage anyway. And even later on, when Moses does hold up his staff to part the Red Sea or make water flow from the rock, it's all guided by God telling him what to do, if that makes sense. But at this stage, letting go, if it made him a bit anxious or a bit scary or a bit like, what's God asking me to do here? He doesn't show it, he just does it. And God performs the miracle. Moses doesn't have to do anything. See, when we're obedient, I don't think he leaves us high and dry. There might be a part that we have to play, there might be something we have to do, but I don't think we have to perform the miracle. If we've heard from God to do it, to offer it up to him, to release it, then actually it's going to be him that makes the great thing happen. Just like Moses. And I think it's interesting here. So I might touched on what Moses might have been thinking in that split second when God said to throw it to the ground. And when the staff does turn to a snake, what's Moses' reaction? If we go back a bit, sorry. We go back otherwise, doesn't matter. He runs from it, doesn't it? It says it became a snake and he ran from it. I kind of had a little laugh here. I thought, ha ha ha. But then I thought, actually, that is totally fair enough, isn't it? Because he'd just seen God in a burning bush, and then he'd just been told, you're going to do all this great stuff. Then he questioned God and said, oh, I don't know. And then the next thing is God saying, what's in your hand? Throw it down on the ground. And then it turns into a snake. I mean, that's going to give you a fright, isn't it? It's going to give you a fright. And I might be thinking, oh no, I've questioned God. It's like the teacher at school, isn't it, in the days of the cane. They didn't have to tell you they were giving you the cane. You just kind of knew it, I imagine, that you would go up and you knew you'd done something wrong. Is this like sort of Moses going, oh no, I've questioned God. Oh no, now he's turned I'm going to be eaten by my own staff kind of thing, you know? Is that what he was thinking? It's a joke, but interestingly, sorry, I joke. Interestingly though, God didn't reveal what was going to happen to the staff. Moses just obeyed. He didn't know that it was going to turn into a snake, and he didn't know that it was part of the plan. God hadn't revealed that to him at this stage. So for us, if we identify what's in our hand, we release it for him to change, and his power comes upon the situation or whatever it is, it might not be what we expect. We might not know what's going to happen, and it might be a bit scary. I think there's precedent for that. So Moses didn't know the bigger picture. He just had to obey and trust. And God started by telling him the great big plan. You're going to save your people. Moses heard it, questions it, says, what? Me? How am I going to do this? So God brought it right back down to something that was in his hand. It's like he's saying, okay, let's work up from what's right here. I'll show you what I can do, and that might help you with the what ifs. What have you got in your hand? Now, I mentioned before about letting go of sin, and that's not what is demonstrated here in the story of Moses, but I think it's still important to say, because God says to Moses, throw your stick to the ground. And can I respectfully and in love this morning say that if there's something in your life that you know is counter to the life of somebody who says they follow Jesus, then throw it away. Okay? Deal with it if there's something in your life, an area that you know needs to go. Okay, and again, there's no agenda here. Perhaps it's unforgiveness because you've been hurt or you've got an offense that somebody has caused you. Perhaps it's sexual sin or financial gain through dishonest means or just dishonesty itself. I don't know what it might be, but if there's something, then I would say seek God and help him, ask him to help you, sorry, to be free from that area in your life so that you can move forward. Now, I want to pick up here on what the whole point of the staff, I think, well, the thing that I kind of see anyway, of having the staff involved in the miracles is, and it comes in chapter 4, verse 5. So if you can go to the next one, Shaz. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So it's not so Moses can be bigged up. It's not so that he can be blessed or have power. It's actually so that God would be known. Okay? The whole point is, and you might be blessed. We might be blessed. We might have power. We might have all of that. But it's not the main point. And in this context, it was actually so that the Israelite elders would know. But also, you see, as the story progresses, it's so that the Egyptians would know. So in Exodus chapter 7, verse 5, it says, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. I think this is still true now. If God's asking what's in your hand, he wants to be a part of it and for you to hand it over him, it's not solely to bless you, but that might happen. I think it's so that others will be pointed towards himself and to Jesus. I mean, that's the ultimate plan, right, isn't it? If I've got something, a talent or a gift or a resource, and I've been using it in a certain way, but God's saying, this can actually be used to point others to me, then I think I want to let him use it. I say I think because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know that Moses wanted the Israelites free, but when God came knocking on his door, it was sort of a bit like, ooh, me? But yes, if I've got something, then yes, I want to say yes to God using it. Do you know, at the end of this conversation with God, after Moses has thrown his staff to the ground, it's become a snake, he's told by God to pick it up again, by the tail, which again, alone would have been quite scary. I don't think Moses had prior experience in snake handling, but I think that would be quite scary. That would be a trusting thing. He didn't know it was going to turn back either. God's just telling him to pick up a snake by the tail. Anyway, ooh, he could have been left holding a snake. I don't know how you all feel about snakes, but we don't. We know it changes back and he breathes a sigh of release. But at the end of the conversation, and there's a lot more that happens here, Moses doubts and says, I'm not very good at speaking, and so God says, who gave you your mouth anyway? I'm going to teach you what to say and I'm going to help you so that you'll know. And then Moses just straight out says it. Can you send somebody else, please, God? You know? So he's kind of gone through all of this. And God's sort of saying, you're going to be fine. You've got me. But after all that, in verse 17, he says, this is God, but take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. He reminds him again, what have you got in your hand? Yes, you have your staff, but now you have my power going with you as you move forward into this next part of your life. And it happens again. You see it again in verse 20. It says, so Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. It's a bit like, okay, all right, I'll do it. And he took the staff of God in his hand. So it goes even further here. It said, yes, it is that shepherd's crook from before, but actually it says it's God's staff now in Moses' hand. That's pretty exciting that we might have something ordinary in our hands now that if we hand it over to God and say, yes, God, you use it, that it becomes God's in our hand. That's pretty cool.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.